The kids on Elm Street don't know it yet, but something is coming to get them.
There's something out there, isn't there?
Halloween's a Freddy Krueger podcast.
Was locked in a room with a girl who went in alive and came out in a rubber bag.
From the Consequence Podcast Network, the minds behind The Losers Club, comes a new podcast in fantasy terror.
Nancy, there's something wrong with you. You're imagining things.
Halloweenies, a Freddy Krueger podcast.
Consequence Podcast Network.
My friendship to all of you precludes my involvement with any one of you. But if you want to make love, then I do too, and I'll be right there behind you. All in the name of hope. All in the name of hope. All in the name of hope.
Greetings, constant listeners, and welcome yet again to The Losers Club, a Stephen King podcast from Consequence of Sounds Podcast Network.
Yes, that kinda is
right. Kind of got it right there.
You got it right.
My name is Rockin' Randall Colburn, and we're coming at you live from the South by Southwest Film Festival. And by that, I mean Dan Caffrey's guest room.
Yes.
This is where the party is. You all wish you were here. We're going to do a brief episode of Needful Tweets today. We're not going to get too deep because, man, we've got a lot to do. But we got a lot planned for this week, Mike.
We do have a lot planned. We're going to be talking to one special guest for our podcast, and his name is, you might know him, Joe Bob Briggs, the man who spread the virus himself in Stephen King's The Stand.
It's true. That's all
he's
famous
for. He's the officer. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
So we're going to be talking a lot about Stephen King, his favorite films, his worst, I guess his least favorite films, in addition to everything he's doing with Shudder right now, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know if any listeners out there watched The Last Drive-In, but it's one of my favorite things that Shudder's been doing, and it's coming back later this month. So very excited to talk to Joe Bob Briggs. But also, while the three of us losers are down here in Austin, only one of us is actually going to be seeing the world premiere of Pet Sematary.
It's true.
And that's me, Dan Darkhalf Caffrey. if you hear any birds, that's just the sparrows outside my guest room window in Hyde Park. In continuing the trend of probably one of the people who does the least amount of work on the podcast but gets all the gold. I feel bad. I got to see Halloween before anyone, and I'm getting to see Pet Sematary. But that's because it's the closing movie, so it's sort of after all the film stuff and most of the music stuff is done. Yeah. So you guys will be back in Chicago by then.
And it was announced late into the schedule, so I think most of us had already made our plans. And also to be here for a week and a half in your house is a lot.
We're going strong so far. I guess it's only been 3 days,
and it hasn't even started yet.
The
morning of the first day.
Yeah, my wife's down there now, and we'll be at US tonight.
What
was the closing movie last year? I don't even remember.
Do you remember?
It was something that was a big deal that I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because the previous year was Life, starring Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal, which people theorized
it's
pretty good. Yeah. You know, so.
So yeah,
exciting.
So we're going to start off by just talking about some Needful Tweets. Then we got some Hollywood King, and then a few other fun little tidbits. So, and then we're going to head on down to the festival. But let's start by heading on over to Twitter for a section we call Needful Tweets.
He's not a human being.
No! Don't you see what he's done?
Kill them all. Let God sort them out.
All right. There was a big tweet, and the big story this is maybe the angriest I've seen Stephen King on Twitter yet. That didn't involve Trump.
Yeah.
Do you want to take this one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, go for it.
My wife is rightly pissed by headlines like this. Stephen King and his wife donate $1.25 million to New England Historic Genealogical Society. The gift was her original idea, and she has a name, Tabitha King. That was on February 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it raises that whole idea that, as you know, people who write about media, I think that's something that we always try to keep in mind, is not to refer to people as so-and-so's girlfriend or wife. You know what I mean? Especially, but it's a little bit different because Tabitha King is a successful author in her own right.
Totally, totally. And her response is, it's pretty great. He also tweeted, her response follows. Dear editors, married to a wife or a husband, in recent media coverage of a gift that my husband, ironic usage, and I made to the New England Historical and Genealogical Society, we became Stephen King and his wife. Wife is a relationship or status. It is not an identity.
Damn.
You could have made other choices. You could have referred to me as of Stephen, or his old lady, or his ball and chain. I like good. His old lady because that reminds me of Wayne's World 2.
That's my old lady.
That's my old lady. I have sons. You could have referred me to me as mother of novelists. I have a daughter, but wouldn't it be just silly to refer me as mother of clergy? I'm 70. I thought I would give you permission. If of Tabitha predeceases me or predeceases me. Yeah. To title my obituary, Relic of Stephen King. In the meantime, you might consider the unconscious condescension in your style book and give women their names.
Ouch. Yeah, man. Yeah.
That is a scorching.
If you didn't need proof
tweet.
That she was a good writer.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, the mother of clergy, I always forget that one of Stephen King's daughter, I believe, is like a minister or something.
Yeah, and we have a tweet from her in here today, or this week.
She's a Unitarian minister, right? Am I getting that right?
Not sure. Minister of horror. that's a really
minister
interesting
blood.
Thing. And it does raise an interesting point because this is definitely something I consider when I'm writing headlines and mm-hmm. stuff like that is you don't want to denote that people are only important because of who they're married to or
no,
so
totally.
On and so forth.
Totally.
So yeah, that's interesting. Red Carpet King. Let's move on. On February 12th. Do you want to read this, Dan?
Sure. As an Academy voter, I'm not happy about the decision to squeeze down some of the awards. Joe Hill was tweeting about that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and the Academy was considering at one point to dismiss a few award selections.
Cinematography,
yeah,
which is crazy.
Well, not dismiss them, but just not
like,
air
not
them
air
on
them, yeah.
the
yeah.
main show.
Yeah, so like they didn't do that. They aired everything, and you'll see later on that King was pretty happy, but he retweeted Mike Flanagan. You want to read that?
Yeah, sure. I won't be watching hashtag the Oscars this year. Instead, I'm going to select a stellar example of two of cinematography and editing from my library and revisit those films. At the end of the evening, I'll tweet about the films I chose and what they taught me. Hashtag celebrate cinema.
Yeah.
What a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
I mean, I always have this caveat when talking about Oscars is like, everyone's fine. Anyone who gets to go to the Oscars is fine.
Yeah,
I'm sure they get enough money. They've gotten credit. But that being said, I'm not against the instinct to make the Oscars shorter.
Yeah.
But that seems like a really boneheaded way to go about it.
They should just
it.
Get rid of dumb skits and stuff.
Yeah, get rid of the president's speech.
I didn't know King was an Academy voter.
That's what I was surprised about.
Does that mean he voted for Green Book?
He might have. What do you think he did? I mean, that's an interesting, based on some of his previous stamps of approval.
I mean, I guess he did. I mean, he's written films that have been nominated for awards, or at least written the.
Because he did Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah. The original Pet Sematary. No, but yeah. I mean, he didn't write the screenplay, but Shawshank was nominated, Green Mile was nominated.
Yeah.
So he's got some. Misery. He's got some prestige. Oh, yeah, Misery won. So, yeah, he's got some prestige.
Yeah, I do wonder what he voted for. I hope it was not Green Book.
Yeah. I hope it's Black Klansman. Because that was my choice.
I'm trying to think of the Best Picture noms, which would be the most Kingian for him to vote for.
I'm like blanking on what they are right now.
Maybe he wrote one in.
Because it wasn't even that exciting.
He wrote in like It. Yeah. No, it was for 2017. Or like did like Castle
Rock. He
writes
in Dr. Sleep, which Dr. doesn't Sleep. Come out yet.
Yeah, right? Okay, well.
Let's move on. Oh, the Stamp of King.
Oh, this is a great section.
Do you want to read this one, Mike?
Yeah, so on February 11th. He tweeted, morning exercises with FX Retro on the tube. The Sound and the Fury, 1959. Thumbnail guide offers the best and most hilarious summation of Faulkner's work ever. Fallen Southern aristocrats fall further. Bonus, Yul Brynner with hair.
A lot going on there.
That's a lot going on there. And if you want to unpack it, go find it. It was February 11th, and you can kind of parse out all those details right there.
I can't imagine like working out in the morning and watching like a William Faulkner film adaptation. Like,
yeah.
Good Lord.
I thought when he said FX Retro on the tube, I know he's talking about television, but for some reason that sounded like one of the radio stations in his novel.
Yeah,
Rockin' Richie Toes. Yeah.
On February 20th, he retweeted Bev Vincent, which says, wait, what is this about?
No, we could take it off. Cause I deleted that part. Cause
okay,
it was congratulating, Joe Hill for something. And I think he'd done it previously.
Well then we'll move on. February 25th. That was actually a pretty darn good Oscar show. So he liked it.
He liked it
in the end.
Probably because they announced every award.
And he's still tweeting about the passage.
I know. You take this one because you love this passage arc that he's going
on
right now.
It just, okay, here's the thing. Maybe I am completely disconnected because there was an article like in IndieWire yesterday where they interviewed the showrunner of the passage and were saying nice things about it. So maybe it's a good show.
It could be.
I just, it's just like everything I've heard. And I mean, obviously I haven't followed the passage critical commentary very intensely, but everything I've heard, it was that A, it was bad. And then B, it's like the whole, and I've, as somebody who's read all the books, like I've made that journey. I've followed the journey from it being a prestige show to a Fox series with Mark Paul Gosselaar. And I love Mark Paul Gosselaar, but I do not want him starring in drama shows.
No, he needs to be in comedies. Time out.
Yeah.
It's time like, out.
Although I revisited, because for AV Club, we wrote about some of our favorite Luke Perry scenes for, you know, because he passed away. And I was like, I went back to John from Cincinnati, the one season wonder from HBO, where he had a scene with Mark Paul. So it was Luke Perry and Mark Paul in one scene as two surf promoters with long greasy hair arguing on a pier. And it was like the dream scene from my childhood, seeing them together.
It's interesting because in Franklin and Bash, and also
I love Franklin and Bash,
but, and also in Saved by the Bell, like Mark Paul is a surfer in both of those. So he has to surf in real life probably.
Let me just say, if I saw Mark Paul surfing shirtless, I would be dead.
I'd be in heaven.
He is my ultimate crush.
I guess I'm more of an easy Slater, Mario Lopez.
Are you serious?
No, no, not at all. No. Jesus.
He's surfing the red carpet.
You're more of a Screech guy.
Yeah. He's surfing the hot tub. And
he's surfing a lot of things. And in fact, the composer of our theme song has a great Screech story.
I want to hear it sometime.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So anyways, all this is to say that Stephen King is still tweeting about the passage, and probably the only reason that if it does get a second season, they're like, well, Stephen King's watching and he keeps tweeting about it. So February 26th, the passage is good, but here's a note if you guys get renewed. The flashbacks feel like filler. We don't need Agent Wolgast's sad backstory to understand why he loves Amy. She's just lovable. It's just like, and the thing is, he never criticizes pop culture.
No.
So it almost feels like he has some really weird investment, like to the point where he's literally critiquing it. Like it blows my mind.
It's like Donald Trump's fascination with Kristen Stewart like a few years ago. Do you remember that? Oh, yeah. It's really weird.
He would not stop tweeting about her and Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Dan, do you want to take February 26th?
Sure. February 26th. Keep it rolling. Pedal to the, we always go into our King voice. Like, keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling.
Yeah. Keep it rolling. Pedal to the metal. Oh, and tell Fox to double. Is this still about the fucking passage?
Yes, Jesus Christ.
Keep it rolling. Pedal to the metal. Oh, and tell Fox to double your budget. Man, he really is invested in this.
I know.
It's funny too, because you could do these types of tweets about so many of the adaptations of his stuff, you know? But anyway,
Bosch Watch.
He's back.
Bosch is back.
February 28th. Stephen King retweeted Bosch saying that Bosch is back. Almost. He loves Bosch too.
I wish we had Mac on because Mac's our resident Bosch head.
He does love Bosch. He's a big Bosch bad boy.
What is Forbidden Planet?
It's an old sci-fi movie.
It's like Leslie Nielsen, and it's essentially William Shakespeare's The Tempest, but space sci-fi movie version of it.
So on March 2nd, he said, it's Science Fiction Saturday on TCM.
Turner Classic Movies.
How am I supposed to work? And then he followed up with, just check the guide. Forbidden Planet is next. Fuck work. Guess we're not getting the Institute.
It's over. I like, too, with King, who's so prolific.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I can never. I'm like, you're probably writing way more than.
Seriously.
You're fine, dude. Yeah.
No, he's good. On March 4th, this is a big stamp. The best short story I read in 2018, Easy. You Are Released by Joe Hill.
Aww.
Okay. That's nice, but it's also a little nepotism. You could find it in Flight or Fright. And by the way, Joe's Nosferatu is on AMC this summer. Jesus Christ. He's like really promoting Joe. It will, as they say, cool your spine. All right. I've actually seen the first episode of Nosferatu.
Yeah.
It's a little chilling, but not enough.
Yeah.
So we'll just tease at that.
We'll probably watch a little bit more and then give you guys sort of a review. And they're doing some stuff here at South By, so we may or may not visit some Nosferatu things.
Maybe that's why he said cool your spine and not chill your spine. Because cool your spine is like, it cooled it a little bit.
It's, I meant specifically just in terms of chilly, because there's one scene where it's like in a really chilly atmosphere.
Oh, it's very cold.
The rest of it's not very chilly. anyway,
Molly Watch.
My favorite section. We got a lot of Molly this past month.
It's been nice.
And not the type that you bring to Miami. on February 11th, he wrote, according to Molly, aka the Thing of Evil, as we know her well and wide, the first rule of Frisbee Club is what happens in Frisbee Club stays in Frisbee Club. And then
was
he
there
immediately.
A photo?
Yeah, there was a photo of Molly holding a big Frisbee in her mouth. It was really cute. Let me repeat, what happens in Frisbee Club stays in Frisbee Club. That is all. And then there's another photo of Molly hanging out with her friends in Frisbee Club.
Oh, well, like other dog friends?
Yeah, there's other dog friends. Aww. And they're trying to play with the Frisbee. And then on February 21st, Molly, aka the Thing of Evil, tonight killed a huge pink snake that had the temerity to crawl up and diss her. Also, some funny turd-like creature I don't even want to think about. And there was a photo of just Molly with all her stuffed animals.
So they were toys, not real snakes.
Not real snakes.
I was going to say that makes me feel good because my dog kills things all the time. And but I guess Molly doesn't actually kill things. So
Hank's right outside this door.
I'm more of a monster.
I don't think corgis would fare that well in fights. They have two stubby little legs.
They have very stubby legs.
Hank would fuck a corgi up if it tried to mess with
it. That is actually probably true, though.
So he retweet Reverend Naomi King on February 22nd. Wisdom helps us love fully and boldly, and remember we can love one another, but we cannot love for one another. Hashtag chalice of light. Hashtag UU.
I think it's
Unitarian Universalist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guess I was right. I got my denomination right.
Good old deep thoughts. Good
March
old
4th. Deep thoughts. Dan, do you want to grab this?
Yeah, you go for this one.
Luke Perry, dead at 52. Oh man, that's so wrong and sad. Condolences to family, friends, and fans all over this round world.
Now, I was trying to think, Luke Perry has no connections to the Stephen King universe, right?
I don't think so.
I mean, the closest would be like, I mean, maybe he watches Riverdale, or maybe he was a fan of the original Buffy, but I think that's like the only
Perry was on Buffy.
He was in the original.
The original, but he plays Pike.
Movie.
Yeah.
I feel like get Stork out, move Perry in.
Ooh,
in the stand.
That would have been great.
Oh, Perry would have actually
been a great Larry Underwood.
Really I love
good,
Stork, yeah. But
Stork's good as Larry Underwood, really good.
No, actually, I've come around on Stork.
But yeah, you were always the naysayer.
I used to be a naysayer.
Love Adam Stork.
No, after we watched the movie, I remember I came around on Stork.
Well, we made you watch Mystic Pizza, and you were like all in.
Love Stork and Mystic Pete's. Yeah. All right, I think it's time to put on some sunglasses Stork style and hop in the car. And baby, can you dig your man on the radio? Because we're going to Hollywood.
There's a town on the Costa del Sol. Always find my way there. There's a place that calls to my soul. Always find my way there. People there are forever young, forever young. And they toast to each other's love each and every night.
Not a lot of stories, which is surprising given how much stuff is out there, like percolating in the world of Stephen King. I mean, the last episode we had pretty much a Checkers double pounder of news. I don't know why I thought about Checkers for a second. But
animal style?
Animal style. So
remember when Dan went to P. Terry's and asked for animal style?
Fuck you guys. They could have done it easily. I'll tell you why In-N-Out does better than P. Terry's is because real quick.
Such
tangent.
An inside joke.
I mean, it's true. That's what happened last year. Heather Kaplan told me about Animal Style, and I'm like, well, they probably can do it at P. Terry's too, because most places have some kind of secret menu. And they went and they looked at me like I was a fucking escaped mental patient.
Because you're not an In-N-Out.
So I'm like, but wait, Animal Style is not that complicated. P. Terry's is pretty much the same as In-N-Out. They could do it. So I went to P. Terry's website, and they actually have an FAQ, or at least they did back then, that said, do you have a secret menu? And then it was like, no, but we have all our great ingredients, so we can make anything you want. Ask.
So they
could have done it. Yeah, so I got upset about it.
But you can't just say Animal Style. They probably don't know what that means.
Okay, I can say whatever the hell I want, and they can do it. How about that?
Like if you could take your mustard and your relish and your mayonnaise and your ketchup and put it all together, I want that.
Yeah, and
they
just
would maybe do
put some mustard on the bun, grill it. And you got Animal Style.
Well, either way, the Dark Tower didn't rip off a time-traveling comic. On March 4th, it was reported that a federal judge in Florida dismissed a suit claiming that Stephen King's The Dark Tower ripped off a time-traveling comic series, The Rook. It dismissed the suit, so Stephen King's in the clear.
Kling.
Kling. Stephen Klingon.
He's not going to the clink.
No, he's not going to the clink.
What if they arrested him? That would be
great. You're getting at it for these books that are like 15 years old. So basically, the U.S. District Judge Harvey Schlesinger granted summary judgment in favor of King after finding that even though the two series feature adventure-seeking protagonists who don Western garb and engage in time travel, they are far more different in substance. The judge said the plaintiff, the nephew of now-deceased comic book writer William B. Dubay,
kind of like Roland Dubay,
yeah. Analyzes the characters at such a high level of abstraction and generality that it does not truly reflect the characters of their shared traits.
I like a judge having to go through this and like really pour over.
He's like, well, I thought Dark Tower 7 was pretty convoluted. Well,
he's like, you know, and King only retconned it later on, so it does, like he just really gets into
it. Really into it, yeah. And he lifts up his sleeve and he has like a rose tattoo. Damn. Either way, you don't have to worry about that, so we can move on from that story. But who wants to take the next one? This is fun. You love board games, Randall.
Yeah, do it.
It depends on the board game. I'm definitely not a fan of... Well, no, I like Clue. I don't like Monopoly.
So really? I actually like Monopoly.
No, Monopoly is what old people play.
Well, what if those old people had to dairy? Because they could.
Yeah, because it looks like there's some It-themed board games. So there is It-themed Clue and It-themed Monopoly. So I'm going to read about Clue because I'm actually curious about this. Monopoly will just throw fucking Pennywise on the
Monopoly, whenever they do the theme,
which is like him, just like his eyes, but it's the same thing.
All they do in all the Monopolies is they just change the property name. So it'll be like instead of Boardwalk, it will be the house on Nybolt Street.
Yeah. Or who wants to invest in that?
Instead of go to jail, we go to the sewers or something. Yeah.
So Clue takes the classic mystery game even further into shrouded chaos.
What the all right.
fuck? As Bill Denbro and his friends attempt to determine Pennywise's plan, and then, like, this is just funny because, like, okay, I need to say it. I'm reading this text here. Pennywise's plan, the P's are both capitalized as if this is like a thing. Like in the book, it's Pennywise's plan.
It looks like it looks like a burger. Like, I know we were just talking about burgers before. It does look like a menu item or something.
Travel between the house on Nebold Street, the synagogue, Derry Public Library, and more to identify various items used to lure the town's youth, while avoiding red balloons that will end the operation before the menacing killer's plan, and the plan is again capitalized, can be uncovered. It sounds like, I actually think that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
I think it's just because, it's just funny to me because Clue to me is such a specific aesthetic.
Well, exactly. Also too, all right, Clue has many people who could be the killers. Like it has one, maybe two if you get like Henry
Bowers
in there.
That's actually a really good point.
So what are you going to be like, okay, I'm guessing it was Pennywise in the sewer with his teeth. Because that's how he kills people.
Oh, somebody died in the library?
Like, I think they're just using probably the template that they have for Clue, like in terms of the pieces that they use in like the board.
Yeah.
And I mean, like,
they probably have to decipher
setup.
Where he's going to hit next, maybe.
Yeah. I feel like it's like, it just seems kind of crazy to me that they're grafting this game onto Clue.
Well, Monopoly's even fucking crazier.
No, but I feel like Monopoly, though, you can
Monopoly's
still play
a little,
the same
Monopoly's
thing.
Like flexible enough to use. You're just trying to get like through things.
And okay. You read the Monopoly summation and see if this is insane.
Actually, this is pretty funny. It makes it makes buying, selling, and trading places in and around Derry, Maine the key to winning the uncanny twist of the landlord's
game.
In quotes.
Could you imagine if that's what It Chapter 2 is, the movie?
Using tokens of iconic items such as an inhaler, paper boat, and bicycle, players can draw
I hope I get the inhaler.
Can draw, this is in caps, encounters and phenomena cards as they build caps, suburban houses, and caps, apartment buildings on locations like Pennywise's sister to Derry Sewers.
Oh, man.
So that's a stretch.
I mean, it's weird because it's just leading into the real estate element. Yeah. There's no, yeah, that's
now,
really
you
funny.
Know what's a horror element that could work with regards to Monopoly?
Salem's Lot.
Well, Salem's Lot could work, actually, if you were sticking things to
Halloween.
Yeah,
because he has Stroke Realty.
Yeah. Kind of cool.
It would be funny if the It Monopoly, like you're just random real estate agents and the stuff is just tangential. They're like, property isn't worth a lot because Eddie Corcoran got killed here.
But actually, you could make a pretty complex game if you had it where you like flipped a card and you was like, oh, there's a kid that died in the park nearby. Your house just depreciated or whatever.
Also, too, sorry, real quick. I know we're like dwelling on this, but going back to Clue, figuring out Pennywise's plan. There you know his plan. He wants to kill as many kids as
possible.
That's
what I keep laughing about is this whole plan aspect. It's very silly.
I love the all caps. hands. Yeah.
Well, Clue It will be available this month, and Monopoly It says will be available later this year.
Yeah, probably because so, they have to still figure out how the hell that game's going to
yeah,
work.
They're over at Milton Bradley's. Like, I don't know what we're going to do. we sold it already.
We committed to this, and I don't know what to do.
Milton Bradley Jr. is like, just watch the movie again.
you'll get some ideas.
You'll get ideas.
Speaking of ideas, let's come up with some ideas for what Jessica Chastain might be talking about when she was on The Tonight Show recently.
Justin's favorite late night show.
Yeah, she said that It Chapter 2 will have one of the bloodiest scenes in horror history. And the way she framed it was like, not that this was like a subjective thing. It was like the way that it sounded, because I wrote this up too, or at least I have one of my freelancers write it up, was like, it didn't sound like she was saying it's the bloodiest scene ever. It sounded like she was saying, no, like the amount of blood that was used was like historic, you know,
which is something, because like, if you think about like Evil Dead and even like the original one, but even the new one where they rain the blood.
Yeah.
And that wasn't digital.
I'm trying to think what they, in that part of the, I mean, there's the sink scene, but that already happened. Although in the first movie, they switched up a lot of the monsters and the scares, you know, so it might be something completely new. Yeah. Like, I don't know, maybe Paul, because we know Paul Bunyan's in it. Maybe he like takes his giant axe and like shoves it into a building and blood. Who knows? It could be anything.
I wonder, like, I was thinking too about the Chinese restaurant scene. It's just like, I think it could be kind of fun, like, if that got super bloody because only they can see what's happening. Yeah. And it'd be funny if blood was everywhere and the Chinese like restaurant staff like doesn't see any of it.
Yeah. You want to take this to go?
Because that happens in Bev's fortune cookie is blood, right? But she's the one cookie, but if they go really nuts with it, that could be.
She said blood. That she had like stuff in her eye when she had like pull it out and everything too, which is kind of gross.
Which is gross. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. So I'm looking forward to it.
Isn't it weird that we still haven't seen any trailers? We haven't seen any like footage or even photos from it. Like even just like a Losers Club
photos.
Photo. Yeah. No, but like we saw like behind the scenes.
Oh yeah.
Is it come out this year? Right.
It's this year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I kind of love that we don't know a lot of it, but it's kind of wild that we haven't seen anything yet.
I think they're going to keep some of it under wraps.
I mean, even the first one though, they kept it pretty tight until, because I remember I was moving down here.
Yeah. It was like until June or so.
Yeah, and they had just premiered the trailer but the Georgie scene at
Fantastic Fest. Yeah,
or maybe it was San Diego Comic-Con. It was one of those. And it was hard even to find that footage. Yeah. Like Justin found a bootleg of it, and I watched it in the moving truck. So I think they actually did a pretty good job of keeping a tight lid on all that until the movie came out.
Interesting. Last piece of news here. Pennywise, the story of It. So is this from the same people that did the Pet Sematary Dog?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. I mean, they got a lot of people on this. They got Tommy Lee Wallace, who we spoke with last year. They got Tim Curry.
Nice.
So, pretty much everyone else on the film that's still alive.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we can't get John Ritter and,
or Brandis.
Brandis, but looks like they actually got the rights to use the footage and the music, which is key because that's one of the problems with the Pet Sematary documentary.
Yeah, there was no footage in it.
Yeah, so they'd be talking about these scenes, and you just have to. I think they animated a lot of it or something.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. I think it could be really cool. So yeah, Pennywise, the story of It. There's a 6-minute trailer out,
And we shared it on our socials and all. So
yeah, we shared it out, so you can check that out. When does that come out? Do you know?
I don't think it has a date yet.
Okay, it doesn't have a date.
I think what you do, you throw that on, you whip out It Clue, and you just have a real Pennywise theme night.
Yeah, right. That, I mean, if you want to watch, it's well, I guess it says that. No, that says April 17th. They don't have a date yet, so maybe they're just doing some clearance stuff. But I'm sure you'll be able to find it online once it's actually premieres, and I'm sure Shudder will pick it up for their streaming service as well. So
hopefully.
Exciting.
Well, cool. So stay tuned from us. We're going to have our Joe Bob episode coming out soon. And we're also going to have some thoughts on Pet Sematary from the big boy, Dan.
And also you should stick to our socials because we're going to be updating all throughout the weekend with stuff that we see at South by Southwest. We're going to be seeing a lot of original artwork. We're going to be going to the Pet Sematary party on Sunday. Very, very, very cool. In addition to...
Thanks, Mike. Very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Thanks, Kanye. Very cool. Sorry.
But yeah, we're gonna have a lot of content that's coming out of South by Southwest that's gonna, you know, keep you entertained for the next few weeks. Dan will be interviewing the cast and crew of Pet Sematary.
Oh shit! I know that. Oh, awesome! Good. Great.
So, oh, you just found out that?
Hey,
out
there you go. Okay. Hey, that's an exclusive.
Who's he interviewing? Like Jason Clark?
Interviewing on camera and on behind the scenes. So,
dude,
it's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Oh shit, man! I'm excited. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so it's gonna be a full deal here. So, but stick to our socials, which Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, because we're going to be posting a lot of content all throughout the weekend, all throughout the week.
Will Dan be interviewing Dale Midkiff?
I wish. Ooh. What would you ask Dale Midkiff? Boom, right now.
I know exactly what I would ask him. I would say, was that hitting the head on the nightstand, was that planned or not planned? I don't think it was planned, and I've always wondered about that.
Looks really painful.
It really does look painful, and I hope it's in the new movie.
It better be, or I'm giving it an F.
Jason Clark's like, you know, this isn't in the book. I read it like 8 or 9 times. You know, it's just a funny Easter egg. You know, you don't have to puncture your eye, but just hit your eye.
You got to do is the Australian or something?
Oh, he might be. No, Justin does a really good Jason Clark.
Yeah, he does Jason Clark. Cool. Well, any other news before we hop things off?
I don't think so.
I think it's time for us to head into the fray that is South by Southwest. So thank you guys so much for listening and stay tuned. We'll have more episodes dropping soon. And like Mike said, stay attuned to our socials. In the meantime, long days and pleasant nights.
I got some hot friends. God, I got some hot friends. I got some hot friends. God, I got some hot friends. But you know you want somebody to treat you good.
Consequence Podcast Network.